With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Jenny, what about the Moldavite?
Got it.
What about the crosses and crucifixes?
Got them.
What about them being pure sterling silver?
They are, 0.925, imported directly from Italy.
Well, how can I get one?
Just go to my website, www.drginny.com. That's drginny.com. Log on, click on the online storefront, and you can see all the crosses, the crucifixes, the pendants, even lockets. And the lockets all come with a piece of blessed palm from Palm Sunday.
Well, I'm going to go online right now and buy myself a crucifix.
Do it.
Welcome to the Christian Psychic Cafe. I'm Dr. Jenny. I'm here with my co-host,
Jessica.
And we are so happy you all tuned in tonight. Our topic is going to be really good tonight. This is one of my favorites because it's called Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire. And we're I love that. You know, I mean,
I used to say that when I was a kid. I actually still say it.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Somebody lies to me, you know, in a funny way.
Right.
I usually, you know, somebody walks up to me and tells a fib, and I'm going, liar, liar. That would be terrible. But this is, we're going to talk tonight about why people lie and how we can learn to see the lying signs so we can know when someone we're dealing with is being deceptive, which I think we could all use a lesson in. You know, it'll be really helpful. And then a little later on the show, as always, we'll be doing some live mini angel readings. If you want to get onto our caller online waiting list, you can dial 323-679-0882. That number is
323-679-0882.
Yeah, and if you call in, LaQuequay will answer the phone, and she will take your name, and you'll be put into the queue, and it goes in order. So please feel free to call in if you want to ask a question or you need some advice or you just want to make a comment. And, of course, Susie Q, our chat room mom, is in our chat room. I'm sure I haven't looked, but the chat room is open, and, of course, Susie Q is in there. Hi, Susie Q. Thank you for being in there. And, you know, normally in the show at this point, we usually tell you to mark your calendars for all the upcoming shows. Now, we have upcoming shows, but I'm actually going to reach out to everybody that's listening. We have had a couple of people email us asking if we could consider moving the show to Sunday nights. Now, that's a possibility, but I would like to hear our listeners sound off, so I'm going to ask all of you that are listening to please send us an email. Now, the email address is docginny@aol.com. That's docginny@aol.com, docginny@aol.com. And just let us know which night you would prefer, Wednesday night or Sunday night. We're going to continue to run on Wednesday nights until, you know, if we get a bunch of people to say, hey,
yeah,
we'd rather Sunday nights is better for us, we actually are able to switch the show.
Well, and I think a lot of people have church events on Wednesday nights,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I think it might be more convenient for people, so.
And if that's the case, we actually, the Sunday night is the one night of the week that we're flexible enough that we can actually do that, you know. So we would appreciate it if people
yeah.
would let us know. And that way we can, you know, we're flexible. And I do know, that's what they said in the emails, by the way, that they have church things, church
well,
meetings.
Well, right, and that is the one thing on Wednesday night that when this spot opened up that we didn't really think about.
Well, we didn't, and, you know, it touches us that, you know, all of you would take 2 hours out of your busy weeks to listen to us bramble on, and we really sincerely appreciate it.
Yeah.
Our numbers have continually increased. We even received a call from Blog Talk Radio. They had to increase the number of our call-in lines because everyone was calling in, and they were not being able to get on.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, so that was kind of a neat thing. Our audience rocks.
Well, that's, yeah, and they all want to talk to Dr. Jenny.
And Jessica, so
well,
there you
yeah.
go.
But your advice is, yeah, something that's awesome, and, you know, it's a great experience, and I think everybody should, you know, call in. I know a lot of people are listening, but I think a lot of people hesitate to call in, and I think it'd be a good thing for everybody.
You know, I called in a radio show this week for Katy Perry tickets, concert tickets.
And you know what's so funny? So did I.
Did you really?
I was on my way to work the other day, and they were talking about the Katy Perry tickets, and I'm like, oh, that would be so fun. It's at UCF.
Yeah.
Which I thought, yeah, that would be fun. And, of course, I couldn't get through.
Well, I did get through. It rang and rang
did?
And rang, and then they said, hey, you calling for Katy Perry tickets? I said, yeah. They said, yeah, you got to go online. I'm like, what?
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, you see, you were on a different station than me.
106.7.
I was on 105.1.
Yeah, see.
And they were giving away the tickets, and 105.1 is a really popular station here in Orlando, and they just, I couldn't get through. I mean, I couldn't even, it wouldn't even ring.
I used to play those all the time. Years ago, when we first got married, I had, the job that I had, it was contract work for the government, that's all I can say, and so I only used to have to work about 2 weeks out of every month. So the other 2 weeks I spent floating in the pool because I was, you know, very industrious.
Sounds like the life.
And I used to have the remote phone next to me on the raft,
uh-huh.
and I used to blast the radio, and I would do all the radio contests. So I used to get dinners and movies. I had free year-round tickets to Disney.
Wow,
I had won
all
awesome. Those things. I used to do it all the time. Of course, you know, I'm too busy now to do it. I hardly have time to listen
to
the radio.
Well, and I don't think they give away the stuff like they used to.
Well, they don't. And actually, I was talking to somebody to see if we could get some donations from certain, you know, music people and et cetera,
yes.
So that we can give things away on this show because I
right.
think it would be really great. So we're actually working on that. that, which would be really a cool thing.
Well, yeah, at concerts or movie events, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I think so. My neighbor just won Taylor Swift tickets.
Oh, really?
Oh, but we have to be quiet because she may be listening and her daughter doesn't. Well, no, she already went, so it's okay. Never mind. Yeah,
that was
this is the fourth.
Past weekend,
yeah,
right?
That's right. Yeah, so, yeah, they already went. It was her daughter didn't know. She was going to surprise
her. Oh, my good
surprise.
Yeah,
it was really neat. So we did something kind of unusual the other day.
Yes, we did.
Jessica and I, went and had a reading done by somebody in town that I had wanted to kind of check out. You know, a lot of times, like for me, when I get really busy or I travel, I need someone to refer my clients to, or sometimes I get overbooked. Monday was the day from I don't know what happened, and I had to keep turning people away, and I felt really bad. And I like to have somebody that I feel really comfortable with, and there was somebody here, but she has moved away, and so I really didn't have somebody. So we thought, let's go check her out.
Yeah,
because
we've been talking about going for a while.
Yeah, and what was your opinion?
Honestly, it was very vague. It was a very general reading. It could have been for anyone, unfortunately. I mean, some of it fit me, but you could also, at my age, look at me and kind of guess where I'm at in my life. You know, no wedding ring, of course. So, of course, you know, at my age, with no wedding ring, you're looking for love.
Right.
And, you know, you're usually at a crossroads once you reach your middle age.
Right.
So you're trying to make a decision in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that was kind of...
A little bit vague.
A little bit vague. I would have liked some more specifics. So I was supposed to live to be 99.
Yeah, she said the same thing to me.
I know.
So I figured, you know...
We're going to be really old.
We're going to be really old, you know, and going ghost hunting and... Can't you see it? She told me that I was going to go into real estate. Couldn't be further from the truth. She told me I had sugar diabetes. I just recently had a physical. Absolutely do not have great sugar levels. But she was nice.
She was very compassionate. Yes.
And the one thing I'm going to hold off my opinion of her only for this reason. I used to be in real estate. As you know, I did some work for that very large company that cannot be named because I'm not supposed to. But I did some work for a very large real estate company that's nationwide. And that was like contract work. And, maybe she was picking up on that because, you know, it's possible.
That's possible.
And my husband was just diagnosed with almost having sugar diabetes.
Right.
Not quite, but almost. And I wonder if she was picking up on that.
She could have been. And, you know, we got short readings.
But she did say something that was really interesting. So all our listeners, you're going to wonder what happened because she said you're going to be at a function coming up soon.
Right.
And someone's going to become ill. And you're not going to really want to go. But you will go because of who you are. You can't say no, and you're going to go and stay with them and help them.
That's mysterious.
I know, and we have something coming up, so I could. Who knows?
Event.
Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So that'll be interesting. I know. I kind of don't really want. I really want her to be proven wrong there too, right? So you know, it's funny because people call in and they wonder too. I'm sure. You know. Well, what's Dr. Ginny going to say? And
right.
Maybe she's not on target, and you know.
And you know, sometimes you can't be on with everybody.
Gosh, no. Anyone who says they are is there's a problem there, and because no one is 100%, because we have to interpret the things that we're being shown.
Right.
And so she may have been very on target, but just a little off for the person.
Right.
Because I was concerned that my husband's sugar levels were a little bit high.
And that's true. And with me, I think people have trouble reading me, so I get the very generalized readings.
Yeah, and I read you, but it's hard because we're such good friends.
Well, you know me too well.
Yeah, exactly.
You know the decisions that I make.
Right.
Good or bad, you know them.
That's not a bad thing. One of my favorite shows is back on TV, America's Got Talent. I don't know if anybody out there watches that. It's such a great show.
I didn't watch it last season, so I should probably watch it this season.
Oh, okay. Let me tell you. First of all, there's been two shows already, and one's tonight, which I'm DVRing, so you're welcome to watch
it. Really missed all of them.
They're going to be on every week and sometimes twice a week as they are this week. But I'm telling you, this show, anybody who has a chance to watch it, it's awesome.
Is it?
I mean, I'm going to tell you, a guy tonight is going to jump from a platform and do a belly flop into a pool of water that looks like it's maybe at best a foot and a half deep.
Wow.
And I can't wait to see that.
Now, is that the one with Howie Mandel?
Howie Mandel and a Pierce...
Brosnan?
No, that's what I was going to say, but I know it's not him, 007 guy. He
the English
sing.
Guy?
The English guy, okay. Yeah, who does who took over for Larry King.
Yeah.
And then the girl I like, Ozzy Osbourne's wife.
Oh my God.
She's stupid. I watch her and I think she's great.
What's
and
her
people
name?
Think she's bizarre, but she's wild. I wish our producer would
somebody Osbourne
and say something. But anyway, it's I can't remember.
You know, unfortunately.
Okay, so who really cares? All I know is it's a great show. And if you have an hour to watch the 1 hour of the show, you'll be hooked because they put little stories behind each person.
Oh, do they?
Once you get further along in the competition, and it's really good. And some of these people, you know, we've really had a chance to listen to, and they're just so good.
I'm gonna have to watch that. But I've been watching Disaster Date.
When
you watch Disaster Date? Actually,
no.
My son told you about this recently.
Oh, my God.
And I actually DVR'd a few. You have to watch it. It's so hysterically hilarious. It's an MTV show, which I don't normally watch MTV shows, but this, I mean, it's their friend sets them up on a date, and they go out, and it's a fake date. So everybody in the restaurant or wherever they go are actors and actresses, and they just do the most ridiculous things that and however long that person lasts, they get like a dollar for every minute. But it's definitely worth checking out if you've never seen it.
I definitely want to see it. He did explain it to me in the car the other day, and I was absolutely dying because he was saying that this kind of nice guy got set up with this girl, and the girl was really an actress, and she was talking about all these different things. But then in the middle of the date, she said she had a twin, and she said, "You want to meet her? She wasn't fully formed. She's just a growth off to my side. Would you want to see her?" Wasn't that it?
And
she carried her in
she
a
carried
glass
her in a
jar.
Yeah.
It was bizarre. But
they're all
see,
kind of along those crazy lines.
It sounds really bizarre. By the way, Susie, thank you so much. Sharon Osbourne.
Yes,
she
oh
shouted
my
out
God.
In the chat room. Thank you, honey, because, you
the
know.
The two brain-damaged women that we are.
It's just so sad. Okay. Isn't that sad? All right, now the Casey Anthony trial still going strong. She is so detached.
She is. You can tell her face has so little expression.
I was watching her for about. I had DVR'd it, and I watched her for about 3 hours straight the other day, just staring at her without the sound. Because when you watch people without sound, it's amazing what you pick up
from
your other senses. And I'm trying to poke into this girl's head, you know. And as I do. All I can tell you is she believes, okay, and this is one of the things we're going to be talking about on the show tonight, which is why I bring it up. She believes the lies that she tells. And when people lie and they believe their own lies, it can be extremely difficult to pick up their lying signals because, frankly, they believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, they're not going
to
do some of the characteristic
right.
physical things that a person would do, the stammering and the eye movement and the body English. So I just thought it was really interesting because as I'm watching her, she actually not only believes her what I believe are her alleged untruths, but she's actually a little bit indignant that they're putting her through this.
Really?
I haven't
watched enough to really. I watched it on the news last night, but that's about it.
I find it amazing, and I always will because I just you watch people, and then you know I poked into her brain, and I probably shouldn't have, but I did because she absolutely believes what she's thinking.
Wow.
She absolutely believes what she's thinking, and I find that just amazing. Stay tuned, everybody, because in just a few short minutes, we're going to be talking about liars, people who lie, and why they do it, and how you can tell they're doing it. And we're going to tell you how to figure out if your spouse is lying to you or boyfriend
That's
or significant other. Yeah, there's some really good signs, and we're going to tell you about that in just a minute.
Hey there, Delilah, what's it like in New York City? I'm 1,000 miles away, but girl, tonight you look so pretty. Yes, you do. Times Square can shine as bright as you. I swear it's true. Hey there, Delilah, don't you worry about the distance. I'm right there if you get lonely. Give this song another listen. Close your eyes. Listen to my voice, it's my disguise. I'm by your side. Oh, it's what you do to me. someday I'll pay the bills with this guitar. We'll have it good. We'll have the life we knew we would. My word is good. Hey there, Delilah, I've got so much left to say. If every simple song I wrote to you would take your breath away, I'd write it all. Even more in love with me, you'd fall. We'd have it all. I've got planes and trains and cars. I'd walk to you if I had no other way. Our friends would all make fun of us, and we'll just laugh along, because we know that none of them have felt this way. Delilah, I can promise you that by the time we get through, the world will never ever be the same. Delilah, you be good and don't you miss me. Two more years and you'll be done with school, and I'll be making history like I do. You know it's all because of you. We can do whatever we want to. Hey there, Delilah, here's to you. This one's for you.
Also.
Yeah, I know. I love the plain white tees. Oh, I'm sorry. I think we forgot to unmute. My apologies. We're back live now. I think everyone can hear us. Can they?
I can hear you.
Okay. I think we're being heard. I'm going to shout out there to the chat room. Can you people hear us out there? Because for some reason it's not sounding off in my headset at all. My headset has gone completely silent.
I can hear everything you're saying.
It's just something my husband, I think, would love. I think he would. Okay, thank you. They can hear it. Very, very good. Okay, so what I'm going to do right now is I've got a question from the chat room, and before I talk a little bit more about how to detect a deceitful or dishonest person, I want to take a look at, in the chat room and see what we've got a question here. This is for MCM, and I believe her question is, she's giving me her birth date, and she wants to know how things look for her finances and her relationships. You know what? For some reason, I'm sensing that you had a relationship, MCM, that was kind of a friend relationship, but it's become something a little bit more, but it's really not, so it's kind of like you're not really sure where it is. I think you need to hammer that down and kind of get either a commitment from him or not. What I'm going to say is also finances are going to steadily increase, and you've been kind of through a little bit of a rough time, as has the rest of the country. Nothing new there, but yours has been a little bit more rocky, but that's going to change. So I will tell you that's going to be a steady increase as well. But there's this relationship with this friend, and I don't quite understand what I'm seeing, but I do see that it's kind of like a relationship that was something more, that you wanted more, and then you weren't sure how the other person felt, and it kind of went back and forth. But you need to nail that down and just kind of communicate with that person to decide what they want, because I think that's going to help you a lot, okay? And so the other thing I'm going to do now is I've got a live caller as well, and I'm going to take her. I believe her name is Lori. Hi, Lori. You're live on the air. How can we help you tonight?
Hi.
Hi. How can we help you? You're live with Dr. Jenny and Jessica.
Well, I'm in this relationship with my friend Bill, and I don't know, he's been acting really strange, and I'm like in the process of moving, and all of a sudden he decided he told me I was on my own and he wasn't going to help me, and
mm-hmm. Okay.
You know,
but this isn't the first time that this has happened with him. He's been kind of touch and go for a while, is that right? Like sometimes everything seems fine and then all of a sudden he seems to like pull back, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now I got to ask a silly question. Before we go any further, do you have something wrong with your foot, or did you hurt your foot or leg today? Is there something wrong with it?
Well, I had this dream last night. All these zombies were attacking.
Uh-huh.
And I was in this car, and the windows were open, and I was kicking one through the window, and it bit me in the foot.
Huh. Isn't that odd? I could just feel a real warming sensation around your foot or your ankle area, and that's why I had to ask that question. You're carrying what I call residual energy from the dream. It wasn't real. Okay. You know this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your dream is directly...
Getting bit in a dream, isn't that pretty bad?
Getting bit in it, you know, we actually did a whole, didn't we do a show on dreams? And I believe we did. We didn't do a show, that might have been another show I did with another radio station, but I did a whole thing on dreams, and maybe we'll do a whole show on dreams. The way you know if a dream is a message that you need to know about is when you wake up, if it's just a bad dream or nightmare, you're kind of afraid. Your heart's beating. You feel like you're having palpitations. That's a nightmare. But if you wake up and you were delivered a message, and this is something, even if it was a scary dream, when you wake up, you'll just kind of have this new drive where you know you need to do something, because if you don't, something bad's going to happen. So you might be very motivated, but you won't be scared, and that's the difference. So when we wake up having these horrible dreams, and they really disturbed us, and they stay with us all day because they were so disturbing, but we're frightened and scared, that's a nightmare. But if we have a dream where we wake up, and even if it was a scary sort of dream, and we wake up just feeling with this new sense of power and this new purpose, and we're feeling driven because we know we've got to do something to prevent what was happening in that dream, then that was probably a message being sent to you so that you could do something about it. But I'm telling you, that dream that you had was a nightmare. And it was based on what's going on in your life right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
What I'm going to tell you is that Bill, is it? Is that what you said his name was?
Yes.
Okay. What I'm going to tell you is that Bill, he kind of has lead feet right now. Do you know what I mean? Like he doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And the more you push, or the more you're looking for an answer, the more he's digging in. So you have to continue on your life plan, okay? And you move forward in what you want to do for Lori. What Lori needs to do for Lori, you need to do, okay? Don't worry about Bill right now, because with him having lead feet, I can sense his energy is the more you push, the further he backs away, the more he pushes back in the opposite direction. So that's not going to help you. It's not that the feelings aren't there. He has all these commitment issues, and he has another issue too, apparently. There's a little bit of an insecurity issue with him, isn't there?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I see that. So what I'm thinking is, for him, probably what's best is not to put pressure on him. He will eventually commit, but his way of doing it's going to be very slow and very drawn out. But his feelings for you are very legitimate, very legitimate. Okay? So just give it some time. And that nightmare that you had was absolutely based on what's going on in your life right now. You feel a little bit out of control. You're a little bit afraid of some steps that you're taking. And it's that fear that kind of resulted in that dream for you, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I hope this has been helpful to you.
Yeah, very helpful.
Okay,
thank you.
Very good. Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks so much for calling in. God bless. You have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Thank you. Oh, that was sweet. Yeah, it's always so weird when we have dreams. Sometimes we pick up on things I know sometimes people say, how in the world can you know when you're talking to them that's just how the messages come to me. I work with chakra healing a lot and I'm very sensitive to that. So if there's a discomfort or perceived discomfort in some area of the body, generally I'll pick up on it. Not all the time, but generally I will. But that was just a nightmare for her. That no way was some kind
of
message.
A lot of people have those zombie dreams.
Yeah, you know, I just saw that zombie movie with Woody Harrelson. I loved it.
And I love those. I mean, I don't dream about zombies, but my daughter dreams about them all the time. And I told her, I said, you feel out of control right now.
Yep.
And I think that's common.
When you feel out of control in your life, it usually will result in your dream. And it might even be, again, that's your subconscious at work sometimes.
Right.
Putting those insecurities and fears into the forefront of our brains. So all of a sudden we start reacting.
That's why you have to kill the zombies, right?
You've got to kill the zombies. I don't know how to kill a zombie. I never had to, but if I ever have to, I'll call your daughter. She'll let me know. Lies. Everybody tells lies. And it may only be a white lie. Sometimes people just say, I'm just omitting the truth. But the truth is, we all start lying right about the age of 4 or 5 when we're children. And we kind of gain an awareness of the use of the power of language. And usually when children lie, it's not malicious. It's really to find out or to test what can be manipulated in that child's environment. And then eventually children begin to use lying to get out of trouble or get something that they want. You know, but like when we talk about white lies, those are concocted generally to protect someone's feelings. And, you know, this is what you need to know. The person who seems to feel compelled to lie about the small and the large stuff, they have a problem. We call these folks pathological liars, which is a description, not a diagnosis, by the way, okay? Because they lie to protect themselves, to look good, to gain financially or socially, to avoid punishment. And quite often the person who has been deceived knows that this type of lie, you know, has been, you know, put out there. And they're not being deluded into thinking that this person, you know, is telling them the truth. A lot of times we see the lies, and the worst part is, and I don't know if people recognize this, but if you really think about it, when somebody lies to you, aside from feeling a trust issue, you kind of pity that person a little bit because you immediately think, oh, they must be so insecure that they have to lie to make themselves be put in a better light or to make their circumstances look better. We see that a lot where people can be boastful, you know, or we see that a lot, of course, at reunions. You know, everybody wants to show up at their high school reunion extremely successful, looking great. I mean, I think there are more plastic surgeries that take place before, you know, reunions, high school reunions. And it's kind of funny because people do view that as a sad situation, you know. And much more troubling, though, is the group that lie a lot, and they do it knowingly, they do it for personal gain. And so many of these people have a diagnosis, what we like to call antisocial personality disorder, or a sociopath. We've all heard that before, right? And they get into scrapes with the law, and the lying will get worse and worse and worse. And when you get away with a lie, it kind of cause you to continue your deceptions. Because let's face it, it's kind of like if you steal a dollar from work and you keep stealing it, then you might steal 10, and the next time 50, and the next time 100. Liars are the same way. They find themselves perpetrating more and more untruths to cover themselves. And, you know, let's face it, we do hold different people, though, to different standards when it comes to telling the truth. I'll give you an example. we expect less honesty from a politician than from a scientist.
Right.
Wouldn't you agree?
Which is wrong.
Which is wrong, exactly. But we do have this vision of purity about those who are doing research, while we imagine that the politicians will at least maybe shade the truth about themselves in order to get elected. You know, and I think one of the reasons we dislike liars, and especially the sociopaths so much, it's a matter of trust. When a person lies, they've broken a bond, and that bond is an unspoken agreement. And once that's broken, it's very, very hard to get back. But serious deception often makes it impossible for us to trust another person again. And I don't think there's anybody who's listening today who hasn't been lied to at some point in time. Because the issue of trust is on the line, coming clean about a lie as soon as somebody tells a lie is the best way to mend a fence. But if the truth only comes out once it's forced to, a repair of that trust is probably far less likely. You know, as a parent, the most important message you can send your children about lying is that you always, and I mean always, want them to come clean with you. I know my husband and I have always said to our daughters, you know, I don't ever want you to lie. And if you lie about it and then we find out, the punishment is going to be far worse.
Right.
And also, I have to admit, we've told them on occasions, you know, we want the truth, and if we get the truth, the punishment is going to be maybe not at all, because we want to know what's going on, you know.
Right, provoke
and then,
them
bam.
Telling the truth.
You know, we can tell. You can. I think as parents, we can all tell our children.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when my oldest was really young, and I always used to tease her, because I had this little mirror in my car, so I could see everything that was going in the, you know, on in the back seat. And I used to say, "Oh, I can see," and she'd say, "Mommy, how you know?" And I used to say, "I have eyes in the back of my head." So, you know, I wear my sunglasses on top of my head like that's where they're supposed to be, like that's their natural place. And one day, all of a sudden, I was in the car, and we were sitting there waiting for something, and she reaches behind me, and she starts moving my hair and my sunglasses. I said, "Honey, what are you doing?" "I'm looking for your eyes, Mommy." And I thought that was hysterical.
Cute.
You know, it was so sweet. But she really did think that I had eyes in the back of my head, which is probably good, you know, because she didn't get in much trouble that way. But children will believe what they hear. By the same token, though, if children hear a parent lie and they see a parent lie, it's going to teach them two things. A, I can't trust what my mom or dad says, okay? And B, that's what we're supposed to do to be grown-ups. We bend the truth. We don't tell the truth. We change, you know, the reality. Maybe they don't use those words in their little brains at that time, but they just basically lie. They tell fibs. No matter how big a whopper, you know, they may have told, you have to remind children that you would always rather hear the truth, no matter how bad it is, than to be deceived. There's really nothing more sacred in a relationship than trust of each other. And, of course, all this presupposes that we have all discovered an untruth with someone else, and so expert deception, it often takes a longer time to find out with somebody. So if we've been lied to, how can we best detect whether we are being misled? There's really no foolproof way, but there are often clues that you can see in behavior that should make you suspicious, okay? We'll talk more about this after our next break, and I'll tell you some things that you can do to really find out if someone's been deceiving you.
Smell of you in every single dream I dream. I knew when we collided.
Soul Sister by Train, which is a good song. I like that
song.
That
is a good song.
You know, I first heard that song on the show Medium about 2.5 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is such a good song. She had a friend that was dying of cancer in the hospital,
uh-huh.
and she, you know, in the show died. And I thought that song was just so touching.
Yeah.
And then I went and I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, took like a year for it to go to the top 10, you know.
And it's just one of those nice sing-along songs.
Yeah, it's a nice song. You know, we've got another caller sitting here, and I'm going to try and get to as many callers as I can tonight. So let me grab this real quick. I think we have Marsha on the line. And Marsha, hi, you're live with Dr. Ginny.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Not too bad. I am calling to ask you about Curtis, and just kind of wanted to see if you see us getting back together.
Curtis, okay. Let me take a look and see what I sense on Curtis. Okay. You know, I'm going to, this is the one thing I'm getting about. There's, I'm seeing a lot of stress surrounding the situation. On Curtis's side, is this true?
Yeah. He's trying to finalize his divorce. His ex-wife lives in a different country, but it's been very stressful for him just because there's been a lot of drama on her end.
Right.
And so that's kind of why we broke up, is to kind of, I mean, I've tried to be supportive and stuff, but it's just, you know, I just kind of want to see what he's thinking as far as, like, a relationship between us and that type of thing.
Okay. The one thing that I'm getting from the Curtis front is that, is he interested? Yes. Is he ready to make a commitment to you? Not right now. He's carrying so much baggage right now, and he's having guilt issues, tremendous guilt issues. I don't know if he's mentioned this to you at all.
What is it in regards to, do you know?
I think he feels that the way he's handled things at home, that there's some responsibility has fallen onto his shoulders. And so he's having that guilt issue. I would like to tell you he's having a guilt issue with you because he hasn't been able to be, you know what I mean, what you want him to be. But that's not where I'm seeing the guilt come from. I feel like he's kind of like, you know, when you're 100% sure, you're 100% sure. But when you're 90% sure, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like he could be, he's not both feet out of his relationship yet overseas. Okay.
I mean, the divorce is supposed to be final. It's supposed to be final, like, next week.
But you've talked to him, correct?
Yeah, but it's been a couple weeks. Like, we kind of had a falling out. Well, not really a falling out. I just told him I needed some space because I've been way too, you know, trying to be supportive and putting his needs above anything else for the last couple months. And it's really taken a toll on me, and I've had some personal stuff go on with my family. So I just... Yeah, I did reach out to him this last week, and I guess a couple days ago. I haven't heard anything from him yet, so I don't know if he's angry at me for telling him I need space or what, but...
I wouldn't say he's angry. It's made him question a little bit some things. He does depend on you a lot, but at the same time, this is the relationship that he's kind of grown to expect, where you're the rock, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And that's where it's frustrating, because that's why I needed my space, because I've been the rock, but he can't give me anything back. Like, I mean, I've been very, you know, very understanding and give, and
you reached your limit,
you know, and yeah, and I have, and he, you know, I've asked him to lean on me, and he won't. He just shuts down. So it's like I'm walking a fine line where I try and be there for him.
Right.
But, you know, you can only do so much if somebody doesn't want to help themselves. And, you know, when I try and be there for him, he pushes me away. So what am I supposed to
right.
do? Like, I'm not going to sit here and beg him to, like, let me help him. He needs to figure it out for himself.
He's in a kind of a precarious situation right now, because he's going through something that's emotionally very difficult for him. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Regardless
yeah.
of what you know about that relationship and how unhealthy it was. Okay, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Okay, all right. So regardless how unhealthy that relationship was for him, still, the ending of it, it's difficult. there's always a
there's
block.
A grieving process. Yes, I
yes,
think
and
it, right?
That's exactly. And for him, you've got to give him this space right now. Okay, I'm telling you, give him the space he needs. I think that you don't want to. He needs the space. Let him flap his wings a little bit. Give it to him. It's what he needs. It's really what he needs right now. Tell me your side. Where's the drinking coming from?
Where's the what?
Somebody on your side. Is it your family members, cousins, friends, somebody? Somebody's going through a drinking issue right now. Is that correct?
No, but I sell liquor.
Ah, there we go.
No,
okay.
Yeah, I'm a liquor rep, so.
Okay,
no,
that explains it.
You know, and no, my grandma just passed away, and my cousin passed away, too, within the last, like, 3 weeks this has all gone down, and so that's where I took my space, and I said, you know what, because, you know, I've been there for him, and the stuff with my grandma, he hasn't been there for me, and,
right.
I haven't said much about it, and so that's why I'm like, you know what, if you need to go do your thing, that's great, and I'm here for you, but I need a little bit of time to sort my head out, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's a good idea for you, too, because you know what? There are times in our lives, even though we're there for others, we need them to be there for us at certain times too. It's a two-way street,
yeah.
Right?
And I didn't want to resent him for not being there for me, so I had to back away. And the thing is, like, you know, it's so hard because I've been there for him and I've been there for him and I've been there for him. I mean, 4 months and months and months on end, and I'm getting nothing in return. And it's like I try to like get him to go do things to take his mind off it. He won't. If I call him, you know, I don't want to call him too much because then he'll freak out. If I,
right.
You know, there's times where he, like, reads too much into it. If I just call him and say, hey, how you doing? He's like, oh, my God, you're trying to, like, get this whole relationship thing going again. And
yep,
I can't handle that right now, and I can't give you. And I'm like, dude, you were freaking out. It was a simple question. Like, he's overanalyzing everything, so I'm walking on eggshells, and I can't put myself through that anymore. But
right.
The thing is, we had the best relationship I have ever had in my life. And so I'm just wondering, are we going to get back to that spot? Like, are we going to make it
I'm going to tell you
like,
that you two are going to date again. You definitely are going to. But he needs, like I said, he needs that wing space right now. Let him flap his wings a little bit. He's feeling very claustrophobic because his concern is that you're going to want to jump right back into a serious relationship but also look for more commitment from him. And he just got rid of a huge commitment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
and I understand that.
Yeah. And this is the other thing I want to say to you. Right now, his emotional well is depleted, okay? He doesn't have it there to give to you to help you through this situation. I'm not saying he never will. I think you will always be the strong one of this relationship, and you will always be the one that carries the, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that will always be the case, and you should know that going back into it. That path will open for you two to be together again. The question is, during the next 2 months, give or take, while he's flapping his wings and having his freedom and getting a solid, you know, footing again, being a single dude, I want you to take an opportunity to date. I know you think you don't want to, but I want you to take an opportunity to date. I know the opportunity is going to present itself at least once, probably twice. And I want you to take that opportunity because I want you to remember that the relationship that you've experienced with him thus far has been stymied emotionally because he was never able to give what he needed to be able to give because he was never really even available, okay? And so you don't know, even though you think you do, you don't know the true him. So please take the opportunity. You're going to have one for sure, but I think two opportunities. I want you to take them. Let him flap his wings, and then the path will open for you two to come together, and really the decision is going to be your free will. Do you want to get back together with him? I'm going to tell you, you will, but you'll do it a lot more carefully this time.
Okay. Do you think he's dating anybody else right now? I mean,
no, I absolutely do not think he's dating anyone. It's an absolute. I feel absolutely comfortable saying I don't see any other female energy around him.
He's probably too much of a train wreck to do it. I know that I should laugh.
I think so. Yeah,
but
I do not see that.
He overanalyzes everything. I mean,
Yeah.
And it's like I pick up on his feelings, and I know when he's sad, and I know when he's going through this, and I think that's part of the reason I had to, like, I don't know if it's empathy or what it is, but every time he was going through something or something was bothering him, even when we were dating, I knew.
I would say it's definitely empathy. I mean, yes, you can say it's empathy, but also you have to realize that you need to walk away and break that connection, if you will, because, look, you've got your own life too, and you can't live your whole life trying to be the emotional rudder for somebody else. That's not a way to live.
I know, and that's you know, I was trying to be the supportive, and I, you know, like my thing was, when you love somebody, you don't give up on them. That was my whole thought, and it's just like it's eating me away that I have to back away from it, and that's where I'm at. Like, it's such a toll on me where it's starting to wreak havoc on my work and my personal life. And I mean, this last month has been just a roller coaster with, you know, I've been out of the country twice for work, and my grandma passed away, and my cousin passed away, and so it's been, like, just crazy. So, yeah, I mean, it just doesn't help.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, you've got a very full plate, and that's what I'm saying. You don't want to be his emotional rudder. So my suggestion to you is give him his wing space. Date the definite one or possibly two opportunities are going to come your way. The path to date him again is going to come within the next 2 months. I think you might view the relationship differently after 2 months have gone by. Completely give him his space. Stop calling him.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we haven't really talked at all lately, so
that's okay. Let him have that wing space, I'm telling you. You'll see what I'm talking about. Okay.
No, I've tried so for a long time. So anyway, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, you're very, very welcome. Thanks so much for calling in. Martha,
thank you.
Very nice girl. You're welcome. Bye-bye now.
Have a great night. Bye-bye.
You too. That's always a tough situation, you know, when you're helping somebody through a divorce situation. A lot of times people are separated and they're living apart, and so it's natural for them to, you know, they'd start dating. And
yeah, but sometimes they're not ready and they're still emotionally connected.
There's
too.
A lot of baggage there, and sometimes it can be really hard. And, you know, I think, too, what always seems to go through, and I hope Marcia's still listening, there's that guilt, and I mentioned that to Marcia. There's that guilt, and I'm sensing he feels that guilt. And I think everybody feels that guilt. Even though you may go through a divorce and you know the divorce was imminent and needed and necessary and everyone's going to be healthier because of it, there's still that guilt. And it's very hard to deal with that sometimes.
Well,
and
yeah,
so,
you were committed to that one person and then breaking that feeling.
Right.
That's,
you know,
tough.
And you know, when you first get married, you kind of burn that picture in your brain of that wonderful future together, and, you know, 20, 30, 40 years down the road and where you're going to be.
Right.
And suddenly you have to repaint all those canvases.
Yeah, that's
and
tough.
And that's not an easy thing to do. You know what? In business, in politics, and in romance, it would be nice to know when you're being lied to, wouldn't it?
It would be nice.
It
would be
nice
if a little red light went off on your head.
Wouldn't that be great? I would love that.
Then people wouldn't lie, would they?
They wouldn't, but unfortunately humans aren't very good at detecting lies. I think it's our natural tendency is to just trust others, and for day-to-day, like, low-stake type interactions, that makes sense. We save time and energy by taking statements like, I saw that movie, or I like your haircut at face value, right? It would be too much work to analyze every interaction for signs of deception. But kind of like, let's look at it this way. There are times when we really need to know if we're getting the straight story. Maybe a crucial negotiation depends on knowing the truth, or we've been lied to and we want to find out if it's part of a pattern. You know, let me pose this to you. Have you ever been lied to? And okay, right? We I think everyone's been lied to. But here's another question I have. Have you ever been lied to and decide I'd rather believe the lie because I don't want to deal with the truth?
Oh, yeah, I've been through that, too.
I think that's something that, you know, so it kind of becomes a pattern sometimes. And I see that in a lot of relationships when I do counseling, is that you might have a pattern of one person lying and the other person knows they're lying, But it becomes the accepted norm, the behavior.
Yeah,
you
but
know?
That all blows up in the end, I think.
It always blows up in the end. And so that's a problem. You can't pretend to believe someone when in your heart you know you don't, and when you know they're being deceptive. You know, if your child tells you he didn't eat a cookie despite the crumbs all over his mouth, or you call your boss and say you're taking a sick day and you pretend to call for you on the phone, do you think both those lies are the same?
Basically, yes.
Basically, right? Whether we're 2 or 62, our reasons for lying are mostly the same. To get out of trouble, for personal gain, to make ourselves look better in the eyes of others. But a growing body of research is actually raising questions about how a child's lie is actually different from an adult's lie.
Really?
Which I think is, I love the science behind this. Here's the thing. Developmental psychologists are trying to understand lying through behavior. So neuroscientists are tracking which regions of the brain are activated when we spin a lie. And their results are shedding light on issues from why a tween, you know, a teenager, youngster, not quite a, you know, lies to your face about maybe breaking a vase, to whether young children can be trusted to give eyewitness testimony in court. I mean, they're actually looking at this. And one of the intriguing new studies is saying that lying may spring from a completely different part of the brain in children as compared with adults. So what's been made very clear through different studies, I think it was a Professor Lee out of the University of Toronto, is that lying is a normal sign of maturity for a child, okay? So that's number one. For a child, yeah, okay, this is, I know.
This doesn't seem right.
Parents and teachers, they say, should not be alarmed when children lie because their children are not going to turn into pathological liars. The fact that their children tells lies is a sign that they have reached a new developmental milestone.
That's a lying milestone?
The lie, yes. It was never in that. You know that book, Your Child's Two? You remember all those books?
Uh-huh.
I read every single one. I had everything highlighted, the corners turned down. But children and young adults are a different kind of lie, and it shows up differently in the brain than an adult lie. And they're saying that a child lie is really them learning their boundaries, you know?
Okay.
But here's something that I think you probably never knew. They did a study with children 2 to 17 where they're enticed to lie by being told not to peek at a toy, okay? And they used a plush-like Barbie dinosaur doll. And it's put behind the child's back, and then the test giver will leave the room for 1 minute pretending she had to take a phone call. And then that would give the child ample time, you know, to peek at the toy. Now, the toy was kind of put behind their back in a chair. And then there was a camera, so they could see whether or not the child actually took a sneak and looked at the purple dinosaur. For young kids, the temptation to cheat was tremendous. And 90% were peeking in those experiments.
Wow.
For the younger children, okay? When the test, and this is what I found so interesting, when the test test giver returns to the room, the child would then be asked, you know, did you peek? And at age 2, about a quarter of the children will lie and say they didn't. By age 3, half of the kids will lie. By age 4, the figure was over 90%.
No way.
Over 90%.
Wow.
And then the trend continues until the children reach about the age of 15. And this, I think, no parent out there would deny. No one would argue this, okay? By that age, nearly everyone who cheated in the experiment will lie about it.
I have teenagers. I know that one.
I know the calls I've gotten in here. But here's the good news, and this is why I tell everybody there's hope. The number of liars begins to decline by the age of 17. So by 17, the percentage that actually are lying have dropped by 33%.
So there's hope?
There's hope. Yes,
yeah,
there's hope.
All right.
And they've also said that some kids lie more than others because they found it isn't so much related to better morals or religious upbringing, but it's kids with better cognitive abilities who will lie more. That's because, you know, if anyone's ever had to tell a lie, you have to keep that whole lie going in your mind and the truth and then all the other things that go with it, which involves a lot of multiple brain processes, believe it or not, and several sources of information and manipulating that information. And so, you know, the better the cognitive ability, the more apt the child is to lie. So I guess there's a silver lining in there somewhere, right?
My daughter has great cognitive ability. Is that what you're telling me?
I just thought that was actually
That's interesting.
Yeah, I thought so too. To get a clearer picture, the differences between adult and child lying. There was a study done in South Carolina where they scanned the brains of a couple dozen children ages 10 to 16, and then I think it was ages 19 to 40 with the adults, while they were telling lies and also telling the truth. And as the children and adults lied, the researchers, you know, expected to see blood flow, you know, kind of going everywhere and most of the activity in the frontal region of the brain. But what they found out was that the adult scans were all in the frontal regions of the brain, but in the children's, there was absolutely no frontal lobe activity.
Oh, so it is completely
so
different.
Coming from a different place, and I think that's kind of interesting. The other thing is, when it comes to covering up their lies, the studies show that children learn really young that they need to disguise their lying, and this is very important. Very quickly, they start to adopt what they call truthful-looking behaviors, like they won't look away when you're talking to them. It's even hard sometimes when we have young children. Once they start to learn the lying technique, we can't tell if they're lying either,
right,
can we? But mostly because they're just not that bright as we are, right? We hope, because, you know, we got a few years on them. They'll verbally give away their clues. Like, for instance, in that test I was telling you about before, if they said, "Did you peek?" they would say no. And then they'll say, "What do you think the toy is?" The child blurted out, "Barney." And they said, "Well, how did you know it was Barney?" And then many of the children would confess. But when the kids turned about five and they began to understand how they had to deceive, they would say, "What do you think that is?" And the child would say, "Oh, it feels purple. It feels purple, so it's Barney." Right?
Because you can certainly feel a color.
Right, you know, and I thought that was hysterical. What it comes down to, though, is being able to distinguish lies from truth, and it's important not just in our personal lives but in the economy at large. So we need to make sure we know how to tell if somebody's lying. And there are ways that you can see if someone is lying. If the person who lies believes the truth that they're telling, or the lie that they're telling, you're not going to get these verbal signals. So this is really important, okay? Many of the telltale signs common to liars that I'm going to tell you about in just a few seconds here, like fidgeting and sweating and the ordinary anxiety that we see, will not be present in people who are, I call, sociopaths, or people who truly believe the lie that they're telling, okay? So in that case, it's really hard. Like police officers and spies, they'll use a slew of interrogation tricks that the rest of us can also adopt to improve our detection, you know, odds. But they look for signs of nervousness. They pay close attention to the content of a suspect story. You know, the more a criminal lies, the easier it is to be able to tell, you know, okay, this person's lying because his story's changed, because they have them repeat the story and the story and the story. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a guy by the name of Dan Crum who wrote a book called Is He Lying to You? And he has a website called www.lyingbook.com. He's an ex-CIA polygraph examiner, and I'm going to tell you what he shared with us about how you can find out if somebody's telling you a lie. And we'll be back in just two, okay? have to guess what the name of that song was?
I think Monday Morning might be part of it.
You win. That is correct. That's Melanie Fiona, and she is singing Monday Morning. Okay, so we're talking about lies, how to detect them, why people do them. We've discovered children are different in when they tell lies. They use different part of their brains. They do it for emotional reasons. It's a matter of maturing. And those who are more cognitive and more cognitive ability will lie more. And so it doesn't mean that they're pathological liars. It just means that they're able to spin a lot more stuff in their
right.
head at once. And so that maybe is a sign of higher intelligence.
Sounds
in a way,
like
right?
it.
But there's a gentleman by the name of Dan Crum. He's an ex-CIA polygraph examiner, and he wrote this great book called He's Lying to You. And he says, at one time or another, men will lie. They'll say stuff like, the bachelor party ended at 10 p.m. The auto mechanic made him invest in a bigger engine. He's allergic to opera. My husband's
allergic.
My husband's allergic to anything he doesn't. Oh, no, I'm allergic to that. I'm like, no, you're not. You're making that up, and I know it. Yeah, so men tell twice. This is a fact. Men will tell twice as many lies as women. Are we surprised?
Not at all.
I don't want to bash men because that's not my thing. But I will say this, that I'm surprised at that. To be honest
really?
With you. Yeah, because, you know, I think...
You
I'm
think
just,
women lie more than men?
Well, you know, we've seen the numbers on women. Women have more... cheat more than men, the numbers show. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think women, and I don't mean to bash men either, but I think women can be more clever about it. Honestly.
We're not bashing men at all.
I know, I don't mean
we're
to bash
smarter,
men.
We're better, and we, yeah. But
well,
no, this,
women
this,
are known to be able to multitask. So
right.
that's multitasking, having a husband and cheating, right?
Right. That's yeah, I guess. I think that's a screwed up way of looking at it, but I think it is. I think that we do know that most of the time men are telling white lies, little stuff. You know, men are notorious for not wanting to go to the mother or father-in-law's parties and family functions. A lot of men are. So always come up with reasons why they can't, you know, oh, we can't do it that weekend, or this is happening, or that's happening. According to a new survey from the 20th century, there's a thing called Lie to Me. It's a new DVD series that's coming out. And the main reason why men lie is to preserve their ego. They don't want to spoil their reputation. They've worked hard. They don't want anyone to bring them down. So they don't want to spoil their reputation. And men want to be thought of as reliable, which goes back to the hunter gatherer
right.
thing, you know, that we all learned about early on. So they're saying, you know, a man may fib about maybe a phone call to the insurance company a week ago. And say, yeah, he made the call, and then immediately make a note to himself and go in and do it, you know. And I believe that happens in a lot of marriages on both sides, men and women, you know. And,
right.
again, I don't want to single out men because I don't think that's fair. I think other times, though, lying is simply the easy way out, especially if in this case, a man thinks the truth will get him, you know, in trouble, they will just automatically lie. And this is according to Mr. Crum. This is not me. This is according to Mr. Crum, the ex-CIA dude. If a man drives his female coworker home because her car broke down, but he tells you he drove home alone because he doesn't want to get you worked up, to him that's a white lie. He's thinking, well, I'm just avoiding trouble. So
right.
That's, you know. But even those small fibs kind of seem harmless. These little white lies can undermine a sense of trust in a marriage. So when men get away with small, insignificant fibs, it builds their lying and their comfort level. And again, I'm saying men only because we have to say one or the other in the description here. The more practice he gets, the higher the risk will be that he'll lie about bigger things down the road. Okay, here's the cool part. You don't need to hook your guy up to a polygraph machine to pick up on deception. There's some simple tactics that can help you spot the lie, get them talking truthfully, and pave the way for a more trusting and honest relationship. Here's the number one thing you need to do. You need to take a mental picture of his usual behavior. The way your guy behaves verbally and nonverbally when he's relaxed in what's called a win situation. Win is what is normal. So how does your guy, your significant other, we maybe should say significant
yeah.
other because I don't like the guy bashing thing. That's not who I am. If your significant other is answering a truthful question. How do they normally respond? I'll give you an example. The next time you and your significant other are talking about the weather or plans for the weekend or any other, you know, non-pressure topic, take note of their when, you know, what's normal, their when behavior. How do they respond? Do they clear their throat or do they gesture when they speak? I come from a large Italian family. Right now I'm talking. My
You're
hands are going.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my hands are constantly going. I know someone in my family, when they fib, that person will clear his throat. And I remember telling that to one of my family members a couple of years back. I said, do you ever notice when he's uncomfortable and doesn't want to come out and say what he needs to say? He'll clear his throat. Yeah, I noticed that. Or he feels, you know, nervous or pressure. Yeah, he clears his throat. So you can always tell. It's a subtle clue. So when you know what their when behavior is, then you'll be able to pick up on changes, okay? So first what you have to do is start focusing on things. It's almost like training yourself to recognize the norm so you can then recognize the abnorm, okay, the abnormal, okay? So by, you know, saying, hey, ask a question about, for instance, you know that they did something last night, you know, if I want to see if you were fibbing, I don't know what you did last night, but suppose you went out for coffee last night with a friend. I could say, hey, you went out with Mary last night for coffee, didn't you? And I can watch how you respond. You'd be like, oh, yeah, we had a great time, da-da-da-da-da. But if I said to you, hey, didn't you say you had to work late last night? You would go,
I would.
You would, because you do not lie. You're not a liar. And so you would start, you would have abnormal
I would be
right.
Very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I know. So the point of this is you can pick up on unsubtle changes in body language, in speech, in the tone and voice that occur when somebody's trying to hide something. You know, just because somebody fidgets doesn't mean that they're telling a lie.
Right.
Because I look like I'm fidgeting all the time. I'm like, all over the place, because I'm constantly moving my hands, right? A lot of times I'm pacing. When I'm on the phone, I literally have to put floor mats down because I pace all the time when I'm on the phone. It's just, and I've always done that. And there are a lot of people I know who do that. You know, I just kind of got to keep moving. So that wouldn't mean that I'm necessarily nervous or that I'm telling a lie or I'm anxious. It's just my habit, right. That's my, okay, what is normal? So look for what's normal, and if you're not sure, because you know what, folks, you've been living with your significant others maybe for a long time, you don't really kind of look for what's normal. You just figure you'll know it, but you know what? It really doesn't work that way.
Right.
You really have to pay attention for what's normal so you can see what's abnormal. Watch their posture. You can notice the first sign of deception by watching how your significant other's body reacts to a question. When a man is at ease, for instance, he'll typically sit back in a chair. He'll either rest his hands on his legs or on the arms of his chair. Men are two things. They'll either cross their legs or they sit with their legs wide apart. Very rarely do you see him just sitting kind of, you know, I call it curly style. You don't usually see that. The restful positions are called their sleep points, okay? So a question that he feels is threatening will cause those sleep points to wake up. So you'll notice all of a sudden when you ask a question and they don't really want to answer it, okay, of course the one thing they're going to do, we know, is you'll be able to see they'll try to avoid the question.
Mm-hmm.
They will not answer it directly, okay? Avoidance, that's the number one thing. I've always said on this show, you've heard me say it many, many times to many callers who have called in, if a person is avoiding having a conversation and they're hiding something, it's because there's something to hide.
Right.
Yeah, no one hides stuff or doesn't tell you stuff unless there's a reason to hide it, and it's usually because they've done something wrong. That's just the way it goes. So if you talk to your significant other, and he's a man or a female, whatever position they're in, if all of a sudden their sleep points wake up, you'll notice them sit up, lean forward, change the position of their legs. Their hand gesture will change. Our bodies are wired with what's called automatic nervous system, which will automatically, voluntarily respond when we're put under pressure. Now, this is, again, this comes from Mr. Crum, who is the ex-CII polygraph examiner. And these are things that they teach when you're going to school for this, okay? And you can't control it. If the question doesn't cause the person stress, the nervous system will not react. His sleep points will remain in the same position, you know? And it's funny, now that people are listening to this, I guarantee you they're all thinking back to a situation where they thought somebody wasn't telling the truth, and they're trying to remember what position they were in, and then what position did they go to when they asked the question. I think this is one of those things, now that you know it, you're going to be looking for it all the time. Ask the right questions. For instance, if your guy gave you a reason to suspect he's lying and you want the truth, know that the way you question him can make or break his admission. Let's say you ask your husband if he enjoyed the lunch you packed him for work, and he says yes, but based on the reaction of his sleep points, right, that's because he gets kind of nervous and changes his position, his arm position, his legs, maybe he sits forward, because he changes, you know, that, I think he might be lying. So your best strategy is to drop the subject, just for now. And because if you accuse him and say, "Hey, you're lying. You didn't eat it. I can see the way you're acting. You're getting fidgety, or you know, your eyes are darting left to right," which is another way. If you bombard him with questions, he's either to go on the defense or he's going to continue lying. Plus, he'll be on more guard the next time when you bring it up. Give yourself time to find a little bit of evidence that he's lying, or think about what you want to approach, how you want to approach the subject next time. You can maybe do something like this. Ask more of an assumptive question. If you think your husband's being untruthful, you can turn that assumption into a question. Like in this case, you can assume he went out for lunch, right? Because you know he didn't eat the lunch.
Right.
You could see the way...
It's still sitting, you know, in the fridge at
right,
work.
Okay. Yeah, I could tell you a story about that. But where did you... So you could say to him, "Where did you end up going for lunch yesterday?" Guess what? All of a sudden... He's not thinking, and it'll create an opportunity for him to acknowledge the truth without feeling the pressure, that combative situation. Because the question forces him to come up with more than a yes or no response. Now, people who work in the sales industry, they understand you never want a yes or no response. When you want to get people talking, you want something that they can't answer yes or no to. And it may be easier for him to come clean rather than think of an answer that makes sense. So you can always use a baited question. If you find evidence of deception, maybe you found the bag of lunch in the back of his car or a receipt from the pizzeria, you know, near his office, you can use that evidence. You can even say, "Hey, you know what, I just found this receipt for $10 from the pizzeria yesterday." Now, that's kind of, but you're not being combative about it, right? And you wait for the answer. So by asking about the evidence, you're not pointing fingers. He doesn't feel personally attacked. So that's a good way to get them talking and kind of admit the truth. It's hard. It's very hard. You have to first recognize the signs of a person, what they normally do, what their win is,
right,
what is normal, before you go ahead and figure out if they're telling you a lie
like
or a deception.
Like being a detective, right?
Well, it is like being a detective. I think it's a lot like being it's like being a detective, but you have a better odds because you know the person. I think it's harder to be a detective. And, you know, we talk to detectives. There are certain signs. But one of the biggest ways detectives and the FBI and the CIA is they get people to retell their story again and again and again and again. Because if you're lying, things will change.
Right.
And that's the easiest way to find out if somebody's being deceptive. You know what? We've got a lot of callers on the line here, so I'm going to go ahead and take another caller now. Hi, you're live on the air with Dr. Ginny. Is this Tina? Hello? Okay. I guess Tina's not on the line right now. I'm sorry we couldn't talk to you, Tina. So then we're going to go ahead and go on to the next caller. It looks like we have Renee on the line right now. Do we have Renee on the line?
Hello, is it me?
Yes,
hello.
It sure is. Hi, Renee. How are you?
Hi. Wow, it's my first time here. I just stumbled upon you, and that was amazingly interesting, and all I can say, because I don't want to miss the important thing I need to get to, but everything you said I totally agree with, except for when you deal with you're dating a psychopathic liar.
Well, you're right.
He's so emotionally wounded from whatever, he's adopted this, that he's disconnected. And he has absolutely no problem. He's just, it's like, it's like telling you what I mean.
Well, and you're right. You know, I think that we're seeing that right now in the, I'm going to say allegedly we're seeing that in the Casey Anthony case, where there seems to be a real disconnect, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I kind of said before. If the person believes their own lies, then you're not going to see the signals because they believe it. Therefore, there's, you know, their sleep points aren't going to become awake. Yeah?
Yeah.
It's a shame.
And then they know they're lying, but they're okay with it. Huh?
Right, exactly. Yeah, they're totally fine with it. Yeah, exactly.
So with that huge relationship did a lot of damage to me. That's only one aspect. That's only one of hundreds of things that I've been dealing with for the past decade in this major tumultuous transition that I've been going through. But my point being of that is so-called, a lot of people have told me, oh, you know, you're so connected, and oh, you got good intuition, and follow you, listen to God. Well, if you've got all these voices in you and you've been pushed and pulled and you've dealt with a lot of situations like that through all these years after trauma, family trauma, all this kind of stuff, you're not even sure what your intuition is anymore. You're not even sure what God's voice is. You're not even sure because there's so many voices. And then you date someone like that. And when what the end conclusion was is, in short, after all those years with him, I know you love me, but he's really, 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 really messed up, and he's unable to actually deal with the truth of the love, what it takes to be in that. So it's easier for him to live in a pretend world with less love with somebody than deal with the feelings and emotions. So,
well,
I had to go through a lot of
narcissistic.
Yeah, oh yeah, he totally is. So I had to go through a lot of mental breakdown, and I'm now slowly on the mend up. But so mentally and emotionally, I mean, everything came crumbling down. So in the end, I guess you have to break down to have a breakthrough and rebuild on a better foundation, right? And spiritual.
Correct.
Okay, so
you
great.
Hit the bottom, and then you have to, once you hit the bottom, you realize, okay, I need to make some changes, and then you slowly start rebuilding.
Well, everything, every single brick, mortar, everything came tumbling down, right?
Wow.
So I'm on the mend, because it wasn't just about the relationship. That was one of the many pillars. And,
I know.
So the theme, and I'm trying to be very careful here because, as I told the other person, I've tried calling in, and I'm like at the sense of desperation right now because of this theme that we're talking about, not so much the lying, but how that interaction with that has messed me up with my intuition and being able to hear and know clarity. So I don't have to call in and ask for help, right? And I can get to getting my life to where it is an abundant success, where I am finally doing what I'm here on this earth to do, and it's this wonderful servicing God and people, and I have this great vision, but I'm so far from the vision because of all the radio interference in the way, number one, and then the bigger thing of why I called is all the material problems that are in the way that are making it. If there's material problems like, okay, oh my God, debt, where am I going to live, all these things, well, it not only is it literally I cannot invest any energy into trying to figure out how to create this company to turn around and help people and do this with the kids and the international, I can't even do that because I've got to survive, number one.
Right.
On that, all the mental, emotional panic goes into that too, so it's taken away being an open channel because I think what I'm supposed to be doing. Everyone goes, oh, he wants to be all positive on help and guide me. I go from what I get, what I'm supposed to be doing, there is no format. There is no go to school and get this. There is no, I think it's going to be complete blind faith, God show, one step in the way, meeting the right person, and I need some serious inspiration to tell me what steps to take. I just see this very vague mirage in the very distant. So
okay.
I need a clear open channel to get that. In the way is all the career, not career. I hate saying the word career because now I need to work, which is not my career. That is my career, but that's in front of my career is all the cloudy parts right now of I need to get some job to make money. And there's things that have been happening that I'm struggling with. So,
right. Okay.
So I'll pause,
Renee,
but I wanted to ask for this job thing because I don't have enough clarity and I'm panicking about this job offer that was gave to me. And I wish I had a proper reading with you because I would bring up that lie thing about the court system in this country and what I went through, which is one of the other pinnacles.
Right.
So,
okay.
Go ahead.
So this is what I'm going to suggest to you. Number one and foremost, and the most important thing that you need to do is you absolutely need to sit down with a piece of paper and a pencil, okay? And I want you to sit down and write down what is the very most important thing that you need to get resolved as soon as possible. What is that very one most important thing right now? It's not a relationship with a man today, is it?
Oh, F no. So off
no,
the chart parameter.
It's not. Okay, what I'm saying is, it's kind of like, I want you to, this is going to sound odd, but I'm big on analogies, so bear with me. Okay, I want you to imagine you are a huge generator, okay, and you have all these electrical outlets all over you, okay? And you're taking a cord and plugging it in, you're taking another cord and plugging it in, you're taking another cord and plugging it in, you're plugging in all these cords. And what's happening is the generator's getting overrun. It's going to burn out. There's steam pouring out of it. And you're thinking, how the heck is this happening? I'm just trying to take care of things. I'm just trying to keep everything going. And that's because you're not running your life like there's a power shortage, and you have to figure out what's the most important thing to plug in now, today. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So what is the most important thing to plug into your power generator today? What's the most important thing? And you write that down. I'm telling you, because I know what you're going through. I understand it. I can feel it. I think I could live 10 minutes in your head, if that, because you have so many things going on in your head right now. You have so much going on. It must be almost impossible for you to stay focused on one thing, because you've got so many things. It's like you are like the queen of juggling right now, right? Okay. All right.
I lost my whole life.
Right. So if we're always juggling, if we're always our whole life plugging in all these power cords, all these things that need to be done, and we're not taking the time to focus on the big, most important thing, what's the most important thing right now for you? A job, right? Making money to keep your head above water, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you currently have a job?
No.
I've
been playing with a few things that I thought, but none of them are working out. Little things with other people or cash, small things, but they're not all, everything just keeps being.
Okay. So, I always say that there are a lot of big opportunities that we all would like to have. But the reality is we've got to get the bread and butter made so that we can eat, right? So
yeah.
I'm saying don't look for the big deal now. Don't look for the big money now. Look for the thing that's going to keep your head above water, but that's still going to enable you to have the freedom to be able to look for the betterment, the next step up. So you're not locked into something. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, so focus on that. Now, you have a job offer, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, tell me
about
that.
It's not a job. It would be working with these people, sales. I'm not sure if that ends up being independent. So it's not. It doesn't mean I'm going to start and the money's going to start rolling in. So
no, it's commission-based.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
it's something I've never done before in that realm. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, but then this is the next thing I have to say to you. You've been questioning your own intuition for a while now because everything's been topsy-turvy. But what I need you to focus on, and I know this sounds, I know it's difficult for you, and I understand that. But I want you to sit down. When you get off the phone, go ahead and listen to the end of the show if you choose to. But the most important thing that you could do is to sit down with a piece of paper and a pencil and say, what is the most important thing I need to do right now? What do I have to get solved right away? The job situation. Because, be honest with me, once you get your job situation under control and the money's kind of coming in more freely, it takes so many pressures off of your back, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so focus on that. Forget all the other stuff for now. It doesn't mean you're not going to address it down the road, but take care of the most important thing. Plug only that cord into your generator and power everything to that, okay?
But at the same...
Go ahead.
If I'm having, with the intuition, like I've got this, I sit down and, okay, I know, okay, I need to get some money coming in, but all there's, you want to talk about not only cords, but the pressure when it's like, okay,
I've got to make a decision. Do I try to go, do I try give this company a try? If I do, I need to either fly out to train with them in Las Vegas next week or Chicago the following week, which means money for a ticket that I don't really have, right? And it's so short notice.
Here's the question. Okay. This is the question. If you had to answer right now whether you want that job or not, quickly, what's the answer? Do you want it, yes or no?
No, because I want to do what I want to do. But
okay. But you know what you want to do isn't realistic right now, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so now let's be adults. Do you want this job?
If it is a good job that will bring me some good lucrative money, then yes.
Okay. So can you get your hands on the money to be able to make this trip?
I don't know because I have to buy a ticket tonight, and that's what I'm stressed about.
Okay. So the answer
comes
this way.
It is either one of the two cities, and I have to pick tonight, and then if I did go to Vegas, I have the option of staying and working the show there, and maybe if something sells, I would get some commission back. But it's unknown if somebody goes to an exposition and buys a $40,000 piece of thing there. I don't know. But if I did do that, I would be missing a family event.
Okay. Let me ask you a
question. Family, I have a lot of emotional background with the family problems and stuff like that, so I'm nervous about that, but at the same time,
I understand
one
that.
Day
Let me ask you this question. If you don't take this job, are you going to be in terrible financial straits?
I'll be the same as I have the past whatever. I mean, it's been pure stagnation. Not a dime, just juggling credit cards on fumes.
But haven't you always found a reason not to step forward and to follow your dreams, which are dreams, but they haven't materialized? And not saying they won't, but you've always found a reason or an excuse not to do the... You really want to be outside the box. I'm going to say this. You want to think outside the box. You want to work outside the box. You know you're brilliant. You know you have a lot of good ideas, but they just haven't been able to been brought to the marketplace. And so you want to do that, right? I know exactly.
Yes.
I get it. I can sense it. I know what's going on. But the problem with you is that you're never willing to pay the dues. It's kind of like the person who wants their doctorate, but they don't want to ever have to go to college. Okay? They say, let me take the last 2 years of school. I don't have to worry about the, you know, all those other years, okay? I don't have to worry about those. You have to pay your dues a little bit. So you're going to have to.
If nothing fits in my niche, and it's not like I haven't been working at all for the past decade, you know? It's like...
Well, no, you've been working, there's no doubt. But like for this instance, this job, you know, if you ask me whether or not this is a good thing for you to do, I see that it's going to have positive financial rewards for you. So my thing that I'm going to say to you is definitely look at that. It's going to have some positive financial rewards. And I wish we did have more time to talk, but I will tell you this. Remember, plug in one thing at a time. Take care of the most important thing. Then go to the next thing on the list.
Yeah. Do you see if Vegas or Chicago is better to go to in regards
Vegas,
to getting started?
Vegas all the way.
Should I stay and
work
for that weekend, even though it means leaving the family?
That one I cannot answer for you. That is a free will question that I'm not supposed to answer. Only you can answer that question.
Oh, God, okay.
I know. There are some things that I'm not... That's a free will question. That's one you have to answer yourself.
If I could actually make money, then yes, it's worth it. I don't...
Amen. What's that?
Okay. I just don't know if people actually buy at these expos.
All I know is that Vegas is the one you're supposed to go to.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Renee. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you. You too.
You're welcome. God bless. Bye-bye now. Okay, we're going to go with some Steven Tyler, his new song, It Feels So Good. It's wild. I love it. Ow!
And I still remember how she was mad.
Don't you just love that song?
Oh, I love Steven Tyler.
I mean, that's really good. That's his newest single. It's his solo, and I love it.
I hadn't heard that one before.
Isn't it good?
It's good,
you
yeah.
You should see the video. It's wild. It's wild. Okay, so you want to know signs of deception. If you still have suspicions that your significant other is lying, remember, note the common signs of deception so you can decide for yourself if they're being honest. Witnessing one sign that they're lying should be enough to set off your radar, but more than one is usually great evidence that you're being deceived. And one thing you got to be careful of, don't just assume that they're deceiving you in a bit. I mean, they might be deceiving you, but it might not be in the direction you think they're deceiving you, okay? Because, again, they might be telling you a fib about one thing. For instance, you know, you smelled woman's perfume in the car, you know, or your seat was adjusted wrong and you smell woman's perfume. He may have driven a coworker home but doesn't want to admit it because, you know,
right.
And your mind is going to immediately, when you ask the question and they start jiggling in their seat or or whatever they do, then all of a sudden you're going to think, oh, he's having an affair. So don't go, you know, don't go crazy. You're noticing there's deception. Get to the bottom of it, you know, again, and don't be combative, okay? So if you think there's deception, there's other red flags, okay? Listen for things like stalling for time. Like when you ask a question, they might say, can we talk about this later? Or if you say, hey, did you eat the lunch I gave you yesterday? And they say, did I eat the lunch you gave me yesterday? They're stalling.
Yeah, they're
trying
to
think, what can I say? Yeah. I heard my daughter in the car the other day. We were driving home, and there was a friend that said to her, hey, do you want to come to my house after band camp? And I heard my daughter say, oh, yeah, I've got something to do. And she said, oh, what do you got to do? And my daughter, who's not a very, she doesn't lie. So she goes, Mom, what is it that I have to do? And I thought, oh, my goodness, you know. And I said, I don't know. I wasn't going to lie for her.
Uh-huh.
And then she said, oh, I have to go with my dad somewhere. And I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, that was a little fibberette. But she likes this girl. She didn't want to go to her house.
Of course, and she
like
just
it.
Didn't want to hurt her feelings either.
Right. But you know what? Better to be honest and say, you know, I'm so tired this afternoon. I've lost so much sleep the last quarter. I'm studying for finals. I want to go home and crash.
Right.
Be honest. It's the best thing to do. Okay, so if a person gets defensive, I don't want to have to answer that question. That means it's a flag. It's a red flag. These are all red flags. If they make excuses and they say, I would never do that, or I would never jeopardize our relationship, If they search for specifics, I don't understand. What's your point? What are you trying to figure out? Because what they want to know is what you know before they answer. So these are red flags. What if they play the what-if game? Okay, your significant other, your friend, your spouse, I don't care who it is, they say, well, what if I said yes to that question? And they want to know, okay, I want to stick my toe in the water. Are you going to get so mad that I'm, you know, going to be in real trouble here? Or, I love this one. I like this one. Amnesia. Not that I can remember, or to the best of my knowledge.
That was always mine. I don't remember.
Well, yeah, but I think in your case it was
that could have been true.
That's terrible. Details. Truthful men tell you the truth and answer your questions, not tell you the whole story behind the truth. In other words, they start trying to sell the lie. Okay, so if you said to me, hey, did you go to, I was in St. Augustine this weekend, so you said to me, hey, did you go to St. Augustine this weekend? I could have said, oh, no, I was so backed up. And you know, what happened was actually, see, I went and did this, and then it was backed up from this, and then I did this, and then I was... By the time I got done, you'd be like, you are so lying to me, right? Because I made this big story about it. So the truth is, the more they try to sell their answer, they're lying, red flag. I call something guilt twists. When somebody says to you, do you really think I'd do that? Or, I love this one, I thought you trusted me. When somebody says that to you, they're throwing the guilt back onto you.
Right.
Okay. I hear this from clients all the time. Well, he said, if you really trusted me, you wouldn't even ask me that question. Oh, well, then when somebody says that, all the more reason to ask the question, folks, okay? Sounds. I mentioned this. I know somebody in my extended family, not my immediate family, he clears his throat like this. He does this all the time when he gets nervous. And he doesn't want to have to answer a question. He does this. I'll tell you who it is later. You know him.
Up.
You know him, yeah. Yeah, you haven't seen him in years. He was. I'll tell you later who it is. Anyways, he does this all the time. Now, the other thing they might do is a qualifier. They'll say, well, to be perfectly honest or to tell you the truth. Now, I want to tell you all something now, though. Okay, this is really important because I'm a big one for saying to tell you the truth or, you know, to be frank. I do that because I want my clients to know that I'm being very upfront with them. So that's my win, what is normal.
Right.
So, okay, so you again, this helps if you know person's patterns because if you don't, then that might seem like it's deceptive. In my case, it's not because it's my pattern,
right.
Okay? Look for fidgeting leg movements, shifting, tapping of fingers, rubbing the wrist or wringing their hands or twisting the wedding ring is a big one. Adjusting, if they start messing with their watch, adjusting their glasses, jewelry, start looking at their fingernails or biting them. Abnormal eye contact. You know, normally when I talk to you, right, I look you in the eye. If suddenly I'm doing this, I'm looking to
right.
the left, to the right, and I don't want to look you in the eye, and I start fiddling with stuff on my desk, guess what?
I'm
telling you a fib. If they start cleaning up their surroundings.
That's a lie
right there, exactly. Well, you know what? Some people, I have a friend who loves to clean. Oh, my God, she's such a clean fanatic. I mean, my house should ever be that clean you could eat off the floors. She's really clean. So when you talk to her, you know she's not going to – I'll be sitting at the bar, like in the kitchen, you know, the counter bar, and chatting. We'll be drinking coffee. But as she's talking, she's cleaning and skirting. I mean, everything. I mean, this is a woman who will repaint a snack cupboard door in the middle of the day just because it looks dirty to her.
That's bizarre.
She's not. But she cleans. She's a big cleaner. Okay, so for her, that wouldn't be unusual. But if you're talking to somebody and you start asking questions and all of a sudden they grab the sponge and start cleaning something and they start answering when they're not looking at you – it's a way to avoid eye contact with you and give them time. It's a nervous thing. It's their sleep points are waking up,
right.
Okay? And it's not their win, okay? So we know it's not normal. These are the things, folks, that you can look for. This is how you can tell that somebody is deceiving you or at least telling a lie. And then you have to figure out what they're lying about, which is probably a whole nother show. But I think this is a good way to do it. Now, we're going to play a short, very short commercial break here because we've got to go ahead and do emails and pick our winner for this week.
Oh, that's right. Gosh.
Because we haven't done that yet, have we?
We haven't, and we're behind schedule today.
We are so behind schedule. We're going to run a quick short ad because, you know, that's how we pay for the show.
Have you ever thought about getting Christian counseling for yourself or a loved one? From time to time, we all have difficulties and we need help to sort things out. Sometimes we may just want an objective person to encourage and coach us through certain seasons in life. Christian counseling can help facilitate the healing process for spiritual, psychological, and emotional growth. Hi, I'm Dr. Ginny. Being a Christian counselor means I'm dedicated to helping people resolve past and present issues. My goal is to help my clients develop meaning and purpose in life, enabling them to make changes that will result in personal growth and development, restoration of balanced lifestyles, and the emotional strength to yield lifelong results. If you're looking for some answers and would like some Christian or spiritual direction, please call me for a private one-on-one phone consultation at 1-800-375-3446. I would love the opportunity to talk with you and help make today better and tomorrow great.
And we're back with the Christian Psychic Cafe. We just had a great, I think, educational way to find out if somebody's deceiving or lying and some red flags to look for. We had some great readings tonight, but it's time, as always, for our mailbox. So our mailbox is very rusty here, as many of our listeners already know.
They're probably going, please get it fixed.
Yeah, please. No,
WD-40 does wonders.
It doesn't get that witchy sound out of there. Okay, so I'll tell you what, rock, paper, scissor, and go. Yes, I won. Okay, you go down to the mailbox.
Huh.
WD-40 doesn't get the witch out of the box, I'm telling you. Okay, let's read an email here. Okay. Okay, so this first one is from Mary T. from Bloomfield, Connecticut. And I have to tell everybody, if you go to drginny.com, www.drginny.com, and you click on the radio show, you'll be able to see all the radio shows coming up. But if you also click on the Contact Me page, it will automatically send us an email. You can put your email address in there, and then you will be entered into our weekly free 30-minute drawing with myself. And this is done, of course, off the air, not online, not when we're doing the show. And so we'll be picking a winner tonight. But this email comes from Mary T. from Bloomfield, Connecticut. I know you're going to be doing a show on lying. My sister and I are not particularly close. Growing up, she was 4 years older and always had a bit of an attitude. I just noticed over the past 10 years she has become increasingly competitive and takes things that I say and retells them to others in a completely deceitful way. There is always just a little bit of truth to her stories, and so they are believable. She does not seem to do this with any other members of the family, and I have pretty much written her off because whenever she is involved with any event that I include her in, it turns into drama. Any suggestions? Mary T. from Bloomfield, you know, you mentioned here that she's very competitive. It sounds to me that she feels that she's always trying to one-up you, and apparently, you know, I would say has issues. And
she sounds like she's jealous to me.
Well, I think she's jealous, and I think that these issues probably go all the way back to childhood. I almost guarantee you they do. And I think that you would find that there was maybe a mother or father that paid maybe more attention to Mary than to her sister, and the resulting effect is that her sister is always looking to one-up her sister.
Right.
You know, if you've talked to her and she's not willing to try and work this out with you, and that's not an easy thing to work out because that almost involves counseling, it's advisable to limit your exposure to her. You know, unfortunately, this is not your issue, it's her issue, and only she can get help for it. But if she chooses not to, there's nothing that you can really do about it other than to limit your exposure, thereby limiting the pain that she brings upon you. Wouldn't you agree, Jessica?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, that's a tough situation. So somebody that, you know, you're supposed to love each other unconditionally, and unfortunately it just doesn't always work that way.
You can't pick and choose your family.
Right.
And I bet you that Mary has a lot of love for her sister, but I bet she's not feeling it back because there's always that competition thing.
Right.
So that's really kind of sad. That's really a shame. Okay, you pick up the next one.
Okay. This is from Laszlo from Oslo, Norway. Wow, that's a long way away.
Yeah, I have a lot of clients from there,
by the way.
Do you? Yeah, I do.
Well, this is Laszlo. He says,
okay.
Hi, ladies. I live on the other side of the world in Oslo, Norway. I normally have to listen to your show on podcast because of the time difference. I have 4 questions I was wondering if you'd be kind enough to answer. Is it true that you two get into a lot of shenanigans? I've heard that you, trespass on private condemned property looking for buried treasure. Did we do that?
Yeah, we did.
Number 2, spent all night in an old cigar factory in Tampa, Florida, waiting for a ghost to appear. Yeah, we did that. this is one we probably don't want to admit to.
Sure.
Number 3, had your children break and enter into a home that was going up for auction just to look at it a day before the auction.
They were the only ones thin enough to fit through the door. It was only like 4 inches. Your daughter was the skinny.
She was skinny, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Where did this person come from?
This person listens to every single one of our shows. Laszlo,
and
huh?
Number 4, did you truly bury someone at the mall?
Yeah, we did.
We talked about that on one of our first shows, didn't we?
Yeah, let's say allegedly did, because we don't ever want anyone to
come. We didn't bury someone. They're ashes.
We disposed of, yes.
That sounds terrible. Go back, listen to some of the old shows, and you'll hear all the
and
stories.
And you'll hear these stories, and yeah.
Now, listen to this. Now, if you answer yes to the 3 of these, please may I come on holiday and join you for your next adventure, because I do believe you are far more adventurous than the people I normally spend time with, and frankly, you girls sound like a whole lot of fun with just a little crazy mixed in.
say a whole lot of crazy.
Wow, that's too funny. Laszlo, yes. You know us, don't you?
Laszlo, thank you for that's actually a lot of fun. And tell you what, we are going to – thank you for the email, Laszlo. We can see that you would definitely listen to our show, and we appreciate it. And you pay great attention to every detail. So when you're on holiday, definitely give us a call. Maybe we can have you come on the show.
Yeah.
That would be kind of a fun thing. Okay, put all these emails in. We only don't have time to read anymore, but so we're putting all of them into the box, and then we're going to shake them all up. And we're going to pick our email winner here, going deep, deep.
Oh,
I want to go deep in so that we get one that we haven't maybe gotten before, because every time they send in one, I take a new one out. Ah, wonderful. This is for, I don't want to say his name out loud. It's for James E. You know who you are. And you are the winner, and I know who you are. Mr. Musically inclined individual, very, very well musically inclined. You want a free 30-minute reading. I will send you an email in the morning and let you know. And I look forward to that because you're a great guy, and I'm looking forward to that a bunch. As always, I want to tell everybody thank you for listening. Just listen to all of our upcoming shows. They're going to be good. I'll let you know what the final vote is on Sunday or Wednesday nights. Folks, if you don't let us know which one you prefer,
Everybody needs to make sure they email us. Take a vote because we need to make a decision this week.
Absolutely. We really, really do. Our upcoming shows are near-death experiences, how to make and keep lifelong friendships. We've got a show that's about nothing. A show that's absolutely about nothing. You remember the beloved Seinfeld series? We're going to be having a whole show about nothing.
I love that.
I knew that. I thought that would be a lot of fun. I'm going to totally freak out because you know me. I like everything planned.
You like to have your topic.
I know. So you're going to have.
So when it's about nothing, that's my day.
I have a little note here. I said, and I put, so, Jessica, you better be ready to jump in and save me. As always, thank you, everybody, for listening to our show today. We love to do the show because you're our listeners, you're our friends, and we appreciate each and every one of you. God bless. We'll see you next week right here on the Christian Psychic Cafe. Good night, everybody.
I go out walking after midnight, out in the moonlight, just like we used to do. I'm always walking after midnight, searching for you. I walk for miles along the highway. Well, that's just my way.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.